So you can imagine, like, that's why they're trying to preserve this. So you can go in the room, you can see it. It is really neat to see. And walking in there, they'll give you the history of it. And then walking out, they give you the history of the preservation of it. So that's probably the biggest artifact. But I think there's one that's right up there with it.
What was that? Welcome to Talk with History. I'm your host, Scott, here with my wife and historian, Jen.
Hello.
On this podcast, we give you insights to our history-inspired world travels, YouTube channel journey, and examine history through deeper conversations with the curious, the explorers, and the history lovers out there. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about a complex of 21 museums established with funds from James Smithson, lived from 1765 and to 1829, a British scientist who left his estate to the United States to found an establishment for the increase and diffusion of knowledge. The specific museum we're going to talk about today has a mission statement of empowering people to create a just and compassionate future by exploring, preserving, and sharing the complexity of our past. So, Jen, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about one of the Smithsonian's.
That's right.
The American History Museum.
This wasn't like our typical museum video. Mm-mm. I didn't get to tag along, but you got to go through the American History Museum, which you could probably see, go to 10 times and still not see everything. Yes. So tell us about some of the things that you got to see while you were there.
Oh my gosh. So the American History Museum is right beside the new African-American Museum.
That's right.
So if you can't get tickets to the African American Museum, because that is the new museum, it's right beside there and it doesn't seem to be as popular and crowded. Like you said, it's one of the Smithsonian's, and there's many of them in D.C. Air and Space is a big one. Natural History Museum is a big one. And this is American History Museum. I will say the biggest artifact that is the draw in that museum is the actual original Star Spangled Banner from the War of 1812 that Francis Scott Key saw above Fort McNair that causes him to write the poem that will become our national anthem.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I looked up some interesting facts about the museum that I'll share a little bit later, so hang out with us. But that's one of the ones that they specifically call out. There's, as I was doing, just kind of like doing my own very brief research on the museum, there's a couple items that they specifically call out over and over on various different websites as you as you kind of read about the American History Museum. And that was definitely one of the ones that kind of got repeated across different websites.
And you can tell that is a protected artifact.
Oh, yeah.
It is in glass closed room. It is under no light. It is in a dark room. You're not allowed to video it or photograph it. And you have to look at it under black light.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're protecting the colorization. They're protecting the thread. And it is ginormous.
Yeah, it's like 30 feet by 34.
It is a huge flag. I mean, if you can imagine seeing it, and you can watch our video from Fort McNair when I talk about this, the huge flagpole that it's on, first of all, above Fort McNair, and then you got Key out in the harbor looking at it. I can see why it would strike awe in you, because it's a huge banner.
Yeah, it's probably one of those, like, if you ever drive around certain parts of the South, I always notice it, like, you drive by those car dealerships that have these just massive, American flags.
Yeah, it's like that.
Like one of those.
And it's hand-sewn. So you can imagine, like, that's why they're trying to preserve this. So you can go in the room, you can see it. It is really neat to see. And walking in there, they'll give you the history of it. And then walking out, they give you the history of the preservation of it. So that's probably the biggest artifact. But I think there's one that's right up there with it.
What was that?
It's the hat that Lincoln was wearing the night.
We kind of made an ad hoc video with this because Jen took a bunch of video with like her phone, and so I tried something a little bit different from a video perspective of trying to. I put a much shorter video together, just basically a bunch of kind of shorter clips. But that was one of the ones that I thought was cool.
It blew me away. I was like, this is the actual top hat that Abraham Lincoln was wearing to Ford's Theater the night he was shot in April of 1865. And it's so neat. You can see the beaver skin on it and the wear, and you can see there is a black ribbon around it, a mourning ribbon, because his son had died while he was in office, and he keeps it on because of all the men that are killed during the Civil War.
Now, it looked like, was it like cast in bronze, or was it, what was I looking at there?
That's the beaver skin.
Oh, it's just that color.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to fade.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
So another thing, you know, I talk about this stuff as a museum professional. How much do we protect the artifact? Because your whole job is to protect the artifact for future generations. That's your job as a museum conservator and archivist. But it's also to educate the current public of the past through the artifact, through the story. So you have to weigh both. You're trying to show it and keep. So again, it's encased. It's in a no light, natural light room. And trying to keep it, again, it's probably under some kind of humidity. You always have to worry about humidity,
right,
and temperature. And so there's usually a little gauge inside there. But they want you to see it too. I mean, you could protect it forever in a dark room, but who?
Yeah, nobody would see it.
No one would see it.
Well, that's interesting. And I didn't realize that, because even though I made the video based on your phone video footage, that's what I thought I was looking at, was they had like cast it in bronze or was something like that, but it was just that color, it had faded. So it's no longer that dark black.
Yeah.
It was almost, again, on the video, it looks like this almost copper.
Yeah, the beaver skin is fading.
Yeah, so it's that kind of lighter brown type color.
So they had the hat, and they had a flag that was laid on his coffin.
Yeah.
So those are the two things. But they have an interesting area, this is the area... it's located in kind of a president assassination area.
Yeah, they have a whole, that's kind of like one of the, I'll call it a wing or mm-hmm. section, was like a whole presidential history section.
Yes,
area.
Yes.
And that's why you were there. And then we'll talk a little about some of the first lady stuff that you got to see.
Yes.
So they had like a whole presidential assassination.
So they had the cuffs that the Lincoln conspirators wore.
That's right.
And it shows you like the spacing that they put between them. They have the big key that they use for their cells. And one of the things that I thought was really neat is for President Garfield, Alexander Graham Bell was brought in to find this kind of magnetic device to find the bullet in him. And it kept giving false readings because he was laying on a metal spring bed. And so it wasn't quite working. And they have that device in there. So that was neat for me, because I had worked at the James Garfield house, and they have the bed that he was laying on at the James Garfield house. But it was neat to see the actual device that Alexander Bell used. And then they have other little things, like they have the playbill from Our American Cousin.
Yep.
So the show that Lincoln had seen that night. And they had some things from John Wilkes Booth and some of that other artifacts as well. But the whole president section, like you said, had a whole wing for the first ladies. And in that wing for the first ladies, there is a dress from Mary Todd Lincoln. So you could kind of see what...
Yeah, we showed that in the video.
Her size and what she looked like. But most of the gowns they have are the inaugural ball gowns that the first ladies would wear that night.
And that's what most, 99% of people, if they think of like, hey, you know, the first lady in a dress, that's what they're going to think of, right? Because that's kind of the most public they're likely ever going to be.
Yes.
So,
and I always like looking at gowns. Same thing when we saw Princess Di's gowns in England. You get a good sense of the size of the person.
Sure.
Right. So we got to see like Barbara Bush's gowns and Hillary Clinton's gown and Michelle Obama's gown and Melania Trump's gown. Yeah. So you could really kind of see that Laura Bush's gown was there, and the different colors that they had chosen for that night and kind of the designers they used and what they look like. So I thought that was very cool. They also had their china.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I know that's like a thing.
It
like
is every, because you have so many state dinners.
Every first lady has to go in and kind of pick the theme and kind of the design and all this stuff.
So you can definitely see influence there. You can definitely see, I think President Lady Bird Johnson is very Southern looking. Nancy Reagan with the red, Republican red. Like, so you can definitely see an influence in the china. And, you know, since then we've talked to some people. Sometimes China is taken as a memento that you ate at the president's house. So that's why the ladies usually have to come in and replace china.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because when they come in, there's usually not much china left because people have taken china.
Or it's been gifted as or a souvenir. Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
So that's another reason why first ladies have to come in and replace china. But there's a whole Americana section.
Yeah, I was surprised that you didn't cover more of that, because that's one of the things that you even talked about before you went in, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things that they brought up, some interesting facts about that I looked up about the vast Smithsonian kind of system. So across for the American History Museum and specifically, it says that it's responsible for the acquisition, care, and preservation of more than 1.8 million objects and 3 shelf miles of archival collections. Like 3 miles of shelves. Like picture that Indiana Jones movie, but not a warehouse, just rows and rows and rows of artifacts. So the things that all the websites call out, well, they've got Dorothy's Ruby Red Slippers.
Yes.
That's a classic one. I think you even mentioned the Archie Bunker's chair.
Archie Bunker's chair is there. They've got all in the family.
Muhammad Ali's gloves. Yes. They've got all sorts of stuff. Now, across all of the Smithsonian collections, like all 21 different museums that they have there, the total number of objects of work and art and specimens at the Smithsonian is estimated at nearly 157 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, about 148 million of that is scientific specimens at the National Museum of Natural History.
Okay.
So the Museum of Natural
little
History.
Rocks and
so
stuff.
Little rocks and bugs and all the stuff.
Okay.
Right. But still, that's a mind blowing amount of artifacts that they're responsible for maintaining.
It is, and I was blown away because you walk in and there's like R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yeah, that's
like,
so cool.
They're right there, so you get to kind of see. Again, their size and what they look like. And I thought it was neat to see the map pole from MASH.
That's right.
You know, where all the distances are for all the cities.
Was that near the helicopter?
No.
That you saw?
No. That was all in the Americana section.
Okay.
So all the Americana section had everything from the film and movies and things like that. You have Rocky Balboa's, the Italian Stallion.
Yep.
Jack was there. Mr. Rogers's sweater was there. You actually have Ali Wong, her stand-up dress was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. You love that stand-up.
I did. So I was like, oh my gosh, Ali Wong's dress. So they have all this kind of little pieces of Americana in there. Stuff from Prince,
sure.
Michael Jackson. You know, it was very neat to see all of these things that you kind of remember from TV and movies in there. And I really appreciated seeing Maya Angelou.
Maya
so
Angelou.
They have Maya Angelou's typewriter there, which I thought was amazing because I like her books and I like her poems. So that was neat to see that. And there's another artifact there, the ship Philadelphia. And we'll talk more about that in a separate podcast. But that blew me away because that artifact is one of the oldest ships that we have in America.
Yeah, it was made before the USS Constitution.
Yeah, so it's neat to see, and that is a pretty solid artifact, and it's in one big room. So that was a really neat thing.
That's pretty wild. So where was that, the Vietnam helicopter?
So that's on a different floor, and they go into the war. So it's like America at war. So it tells a bunch of different stories. It's going to tell Civil War. It's going to tell, and it's going to roll into Vietnam. And that was part of the Vietnam story. So they have an entire Army Huey helicopter from Vietnam, which was amazing to see. But they have the war posters, and they have, I think they have Thomas Jefferson's desk. They have George Washington's trunk. They're trying to bring different things.
Even for kind of history nerds like us, you know, all the stuff we do. Like, I feel like if once I finally get there, because I've never been, I would have to not bring my camera because I would just want to walk around and just take it all in.
That's how I felt because it's so many amazing things. Like you, and for the Civil War, you have Sherman's horse, like his entire horse is there.
Yeah, it's stuffed, yeah.
And then you have the chairs from the surrender of the Civil War from the McLean house.
That's right.
Like all, so they're housing these pretty big artifacts in the glass and then telling the story. I mean, a horse. So you're walking through. They don't have... There's things I appreciate and things I don't. They have to tell quick stories.
Yep.
Right? It's quick stories about Revolutionary War, quick stories about the Civil War, because they have so much story to tell. And that's what I thought was interesting about American History Museum. I'm like, what story are they telling here? Because there's so much story to tell. So they bring out the big artifacts and kind of tell that story, but it's a quick story. You could go to a World War II museum and see a lot more. You could go to a Civil War museum and see a lot more. They're bringing out the big things that they have to tell that story quickly. They even have on the bottom floor a lowrider. So they're showing you, yeah, it's all kind of airbrushed too, like, you know, and they're kind of showing you even more Americana. Like it's, and so I find the American History Museum interesting because like what part of Americana, of America's past are we telling here? Are we preserving here? What story? And there's so many stories to tell. So you can tell how they pick and choose their exhibits.
Yeah.
And what,
and I'm sure they rotate stuff.
I'm sure they do because they probably have to. I mean, millions of things.
Yeah.
But it's neat. It's neat to get in there and really look at things. And
that makes me smile that they got an airbrush lowrider. Reminds me of home in Southern California.
It does. It totally does. It was, and they have like the clothing of that time, and they tell stories about companies in America. I think they had like Singer sewing machines and things like that. And they tell the story of transportation through time. I think lowrider was part of that exhibit.
Gotcha.
And so they had like, they're talking about trains and bicycles and things and motorcycles. And so it's just very interesting how the American History Museum picks and chooses what stories they're telling and when, but based on what artifacts they have. But it was definitely neat. You have to see it. It's free. And I think it was very good for kids.
Yeah.
They have a hands-on area for kids. And so it's a great place to bring your family. And I think all the museums in DC are free. So it's just one that has a lot of cool stuff that I think the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah, well, I think we may need to make another concerted effort for us to bring our family up there before the Navy pulls me away to somewhere else, whenever that is, because there's so many museums up there, whether it's the Spy Museum or it's the Air and Space or it's the American History or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I would be doing myself, even myself, a non-history nerd, a disservice if I didn't get to a couple of the museums, you know, one or two more times before we leave.
Yes.
So. Again, for those listening, thank you for listening to the Talk with History podcast. And please reach out to us at our website, talkwithhistory.com. But more importantly, if you know someone else that might enjoy this podcast, please share it with them. Especially if you think today's topic would interest a friend, shoot them a text and tell them to look us up. We rely on you, our community, to grow, and we appreciate you all every day. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.